Good morning and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a dynamic hour for you because it's a time when we are going to be sharing some health information with you that's going to enable you as an individual to enjoy a level of wellness in your life that perhaps you didn't know that you could experience. My guest today is Jewel Shepherd. She has put out a book called Nearly Normal Cooking for Gluten-Free Eating. Jules, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Donna. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you. Your book is so interesting because I have encountered, through years of interacting with people, so many individuals that I think would have given their eye teeth to have the information that you offer and we're going to be talking about today regarding diet, how we can end up with conditions we never had expected we'd end up with. You, I want to give a little bit of information about, though. You are a Phi Beta Kappa graduate in English from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You also earned your JD and LLM in International and Comparative Law from Duke University School of Law. You were formerly a state prosecutor. And today, you have evolved into a whole new level of work. You're no longer involved in the legal aspect. You are now focusing on cooking and creating yummy, yummy creations in the kitchen, but they're a little bit different from the average. Tell us your story and what happened to you and why you have evolved into a passion for cooking.
Well, it's an interesting story, actually. I have always had a passion for cooking. I was one of those kids with the easy bake oven at a really early age. Always loved to cook, and even when I was in law school, I cooked a lot, so much that I actually sold my muffins and things at the law school cafe. It was kind of amusing. It was a source of stress relief for me, so to speak. And I got sick when I was in college and was sick from then on and couldn't figure out why, and nobody could figure out why, and I just kept doing what I was doing, which was, you know, making food and eating food just like normal, but was constantly sick.
Now, how were you sick? You say you were sick. What was going on?
You know what, Donna? It was the funniest thing. I literally woke up one morning like a light switch was just flipped on, and I had every stomach issue you could imagine from then on. And I never had it before. And nobody could figure out, you know, what was wrong with me. I had, you know, all of the normal run-to-the-bathroom type of symptoms that you like to think don't last very long. A lot of bloating and just, you know, general cramping and pain associated with just sort of my GI tract. That was my particular symptom issue that I had. A lot of people who have what I have, which is celiac disease, have very different symptoms, but that's what I had. And I went to, you know, all the doctors that I needed to go to, went to gastroenterological specialists all over the place, wherever I lived, and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. And that was about 10 years. And when I found out what was wrong with me in 1999, I found out that I had celiac disease. And my whole life was turned upside down because everything that I had known before about cooking and eating was no longer applicable. And I suddenly couldn't figure out how to make good food for my friends and my family and myself. And it was quite a struggle. So I, too, Donna, would have given my eye teeth for all of this information when it happened to me in 1999, which was the whole reason for me putting out the book.
Now, let's talk a little bit about celiac disease. And I want to let my audience know, again, the title of the book is Nearly Normal Cooking for Gluten-Free Eating. And we'll be talking about some of the recipes, so if you want to get a pad and paper and write it down later on, we're going to be talking about it. But in today's world, we are becoming so much more educated about nutrition, about, gee, we should eat this, we should not eat that, so on and so forth. We have all of these opinions that are out there. What is celiac disease? People hear that, they're not going to be able to relate to it until it suddenly happens to them. What is it?
Well, it is commonly considered to be a food allergy to wheat, but that is actually not accurate. It is an autoimmune disease, much like diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis, and it is a disease that affects people who have a genetic predisposition for it. So it's genetically linked and it's hereditary, and you have to have the environmental factor, which is the gluten that we talk about with the gluten-free eating, and that's in all kinds of foods, which we can get into. And then you have to have some sort of a trigger. When you have those three things, the genetic predisposition, the exposure to gluten, which is in food everywhere in today's society, and some sort of a trigger in your own body that does sort of the light switch kind of thing I talked about a minute ago, then you all of a sudden come down with this thing called celiac disease. And it means you can't have anything with gluten in it. And if you do, then you get very sick, and your body has an autoimmune reaction to it, which in a celiac means that your intestinal tract is what suffers because your body attacks your intestinal tract because your intestinal tract is what absorbs the gluten in the food. And so you have malnutrition issues, and you have a lot of, you know, you have arthritis issues. You can have a lot of inflammation, the bloating and things like that that I had, as well as a lot of deficiencies from, you see a lot of people who have celiac disease who have calcium deficiencies and have osteoporosis, for example. Mm-hmm. If children, young children, if they contract celiac disease, there's a failure to thrive. A lot of children, especially in less developed countries, are perishing because of celiac disease going undiagnosed. So it can manifest itself in different ways, but ultimately it is an autoimmune disorder, and the only known way to treat it right now is just simply to avoid gluten.
You give some wonderful information in your book, because this is not just a recipe book, mm-hmm. which we're going to get into discussing some wonderful dishes that you have been able to put together for anyone to enjoy, actually. Mm-hmm. But how is this diagnosed? Because you have so many different listings of ailments that someone can go in and be diagnosed with. I mean, it's like Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. ulcerative colitis, dermatological complaints like eczema, hives, and acne, arthritic complaints, and you've mentioned rheumatoid arthritis, and possibly even fibromyalgia, vitamin deficiencies, which you've just mentioned, headaches and migraines, chronic fatigue, asthma, rhinitis, sinusitis, severe premenstrual syndrome. I mean, you've got all of these things listed, mm-hmm. and people listening to this might say, oh, good Lord, what are we going to do? You know, I may have this symptom, or I've got this situation. How is celiac diagnosed?
Well, luckily today, thanks to the efforts largely of the University of Maryland Center for Celiac Research, there is a simple blood test that can be used to determine whether or not you're having this celiac autoimmune reaction to the exposure of gluten. And then in order to confirm it for sure, then they usually do an upper endoscopy where they take a sample of your upper intestinal tract for biopsy. But the initial test is a simple blood test. And that has been the overwhelming, the cause of the sea change in terms of awareness of celiac disease recently, because the blood test has only been available for a few years, and it's usually covered by insurance, it's affordable, it's fairly simple for people to go in and just have the lab work done. The key, though, is that you must be eating gluten when you have the test. You cannot go try a gluten-free diet for a while and then go have the blood test, because you may not test positive, mm-hmm. even if you have celiac disease, because the test is for your body's reaction to gluten. If you're not eating gluten, you're not going to have a reaction to gluten. But to go back to your question, which was, you know, there's so many symptoms out there that could be possibly indicative of celiac disease. How are you supposed to know if you have it? And especially with the book now, and I travel around and meet people all the time who have celiac, or maybe think they might have celiac once they hear all of this list of possible symptoms. It's very interesting, because most people that I'm talking to are informing their doctors, and they're saying, look, I have had these migraines or whatever it is for so long now. You have not been able to figure out what's wrong with me. Why don't we try this blood test and just see if this could be it? And I'm finding that so many people are saying their doctors are you know, responding very negatively and saying, no, mm-hmm. that couldn't be it. And then when they finally do get the blood test, hey, guess what? They have celiac disease. I mean, one in 133 people has it, which makes it one of, if not the most predominant genetically based diseases in modern society. And most people, I think something over 70%, don't even know that they have it yet. So this is something that's just going to be, you know, a wave of people. The more people get tested, the more doctors are informed, the more people ask their doctors about it, the more people are going to find that they truly are, that they have celiac disease. And just about everybody anymore knows someone who has it or knows someone who has been tested for it. There's something else out there, though, that's not celiac disease but responds to a gluten-free diet, which is gluten intolerance. And you may test negative on that blood test for celiac disease, but you may still be gluten intolerant. And I saw an article the other day that said something over, I think it was like 50% of the population has gluten intolerance. I mean, to some degree, which is just phenomenal when you think of the numbers.
It really is. It's really amazing. Now, the European people typically mm-hmm. have had this for a long time, and there's been a lot of sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, many of us in the United States, our genetics are related to that European environment. But something
sure.
I found that was quite surprising to me, not only that it's in the United States it's as frequent as it is in Europe, but also now Africa, South America, and Asia.
You really do your homework, don't you, Donna?
And, well, I've got your material right in front of me.
I know.
And when you think of that, is this something that's relatively new? I mean, with Asians, you know, eating a Western diet, I can see where that would evolve. But is this something that has existed in these other cultures? Africans, you know, when I think of them, and of course I know that's changed tremendously, but they wouldn't, where would they have gotten gluten?
Well, that's the point. That's what people are starting to realize. And it's actually becoming a huge world health issue because the African continent did not have glutinous grains, and for the most part. And now, all of a sudden, you have Europeans predominantly taking over the world health issues and trying to supply food for less developed countries. And what are they supplying?
Grains.
Wheat. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're seeing that Africans now are having these celiac issues. They're having children with failure to thrive. They're having children dying. And now they have to reexamine what they're actually providing these folks who they previously thought did not have celiac disease. I remember when I was first diagnosed, I was told it was a Northern European disease. And because I have some, you know, way, way, way back, I have some Northern European heritage, that's why I have it. Well, now, anymore, the recent studies are showing, no, it's really not, you know, continent-specific or in any way, you know, country-specific. Everybody has the ability to have this disease. It's just exposure. And suddenly we're realizing we need to take advantage of all of the research that's out there and, you know, make sure that we're not doing more harm than good when we're trying to help people in famine-ridden countries.
I had the chuckle when I was reading your initial part of your book and how you had to go through the struggle of figuring out what you could eat because your family didn't have the gluten intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Right.
And so here you are. You're a mom. You're fixing all the meals, and you're faced with a dilemma of, oh, good Lord, what am I going to be able to eat? And I loved what you said about using rice flour
mm-hmm.
because I have tried to fix things sometimes with rice flour, and it comes out like a lead weight.
And yes.
It's about as tasty as mud. Maybe
yes.
mud tastes better. Anyway.
I'm going to use that from now on. Donna said it's as tasty as mud. Yeah, it's true. That's what I think, at least.
It's awful.
And yeah.
the texture is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Very
it's
gritty.
Absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So here you've got, and I want to mention, for those of you who have just tuned in, we're talking with Jules Shepherd. This is her book that gives information not just about the celiac disease, but and how you can get along without gluten, but why it's affecting people. But it's nearly normal cooking for gluten-free eating. And so this woman has walked the walk because she wanted to eat, naturally, and wanted to have some of those goodies that we always look forward to. And you have the do's and don'ts of gluten-free eating. But before we get into that, I wanted to address something. This really surprised me in your book. It was about beer.
Mm-hmm.
You said, beer is not good for you. Now, that's going to break the heart of a lot of listeners, especially since we're in the summer months. And on the East Coast, it's hot, it's humid, and beer is just something that people just thoroughly enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not good for someone to have beer if they have celiac?
Well, if you cannot tolerate gluten, which celiacs cannot, neither can people who are obviously gluten intolerant, or people with wheat allergies, for example, anyone else in those categories, you up until now could not have any beer because beer was made with barley, you know, wheat, hops, things like that that are have gluten in them. But luckily, in this past year, I think, has been the biggest advance so far for people who are championing the cause of gluten-free beer. Anheuser-Busch in January had put out a beer called Red Bridge Beer. Now, until that point, there had been some smaller microbrews that you could find if you looked really hard or ordered them who had some gluten-free beers, like there was Bard's Tale, there's New Grist, some other small microbrews that you could try to get your hands on, but it was very difficult. Suddenly, with the advent of the Anheuser-Busch's Red Bridge beer, just about anybody has access to gluten-free beer. And it's so exciting because you know if Anheuser-Busch, I mean, a humongous company like Anheuser-Busch is standing up and saying, we need to be finding a gluten-free beer, then the market is starting to listen to the fact that there are millions of people on the horizon who are going to be needing gluten-free items such as beer and other foods. And I can tell you, I've tried the Red Bridge, and it tastes like beer. It's very exciting. So if,
for all of your listeners,
I mean, you know, if you don't have it already, go to your favorite restaurants or your favorite stores where you would typically buy beer. And if they don't have it, just ask them to ask their Anheuser-Busch distributor to put it on the truck.
There you've got it. I just had to address the beer.
Yeah, well, it's
summertime, and that is, for so many people, a refreshing, cooling drink, and I know there's many people that don't drink. I'm not someone that likes beer personally, but that's not the issue. It's just one of those things that a lot of people enjoy, so I thought that was good. Okay, now, we know that, and you give information on different liquors and liqueurs and what they're made from. Many of them are made from grains, and of course you couldn't have that, but there's a lot of things that you list that someone can have. Let's talk about grains, because in today's world, that often is really promoted heavily. This is something that makes for a healthy diet, lots of grains. This is what you need. And this has been around for a good 100 years or so. So those people that cannot deal with the gluten, then they have options. They have buckwheat, they have corn, they have millet, they have quinoa, and there is rice. And you give such wonderful information on all of this. But let's talk about a few of the do's and don'ts. To avoid, we should avoid barley, couscous, oats, if contaminated with other gluten-containing grains, and that was very important. Rye, triticale, and wheat in any form. That's avoided at all costs. Now, safe list is amaranth, arrowroot, beans, buckwheat, corn, millet, nuts such as almonds, potatoes, starch and flour, quinoa, rapeseed oil, rice, sorghum, soy, tapioca. So you have a number of things that people can utilize. And you also developed your own all-purpose flour. Tell us about that flour.
Well, it's interesting. The flour, to me, has been the key all along for me being able to make good food again. Because when I first started baking gluten-free, I tried all the flours that were on the market and the recipes that were out there, and they were just horrible, mostly because, as we discussed, the rice flour, the heavy use of rice flour was just so distinctive and not in a good way. And I developed my own flour mixture just through years of trial and error, and I do not use a lot of rice flour. I do use it for some bulk, but I use a lot of starches that provide a lot of fine texture to the flour and also provide for the light loft that you're looking for in your baking. And so my mixture involves a mixture of five different flours and starches mixed together. And some people have tried, most people who try a gluten-free diet think, oh, you can just use rice flour or something as a one-for-one substitution for all-purpose wheat flour, and you just simply cannot do that. Mine has five flours in it, and what I was striving for was something that was, as the name is, nearly normal, that you would eat it, and I could, you know, serve it to you, Donna, and you wouldn't know that it was gluten-free. Not that you would say, oh, this isn't bad for gluten-free. I wanted people to not even know they were eating gluten-free.
So it's five mixtures of flowers, and then it also has xanthan gum in it, which is the binder that replaces the gluten. Gluten is the protein in things like wheat that holds your breads and your cookies and things like that together. So you need something as a substitute. So those five grains together along with xanthan gum, and it is a one-for-one substitution for just about any, you know, Betty Crocker recipe, anything you want to whip out, and you can try my flour mixture, and it works pretty well.
Right.
I've had great success with it.
We've got to talk about some of the foods that you prepare because I feel it's so important and one of the staples in life. I know it's one of my husband's favorite foods. That's pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about spinach crust pizza. That is such a wonderful recipe. And, you know, everybody that I am aware of, goodness gracious, hot, cold, they just seem to love it. Of course, it is, to me, it's like a sandwich by any other name. But there again, you cannot use the regular flour. How can we make this spinach crust pizza? And I'm sure we can adapt it in so many different ways. What do we do?
Well, and I'm sure as you've noticed in the book, I have a recipe for spinach crust pizza, and I also have a recipe for regular pizza, which is divine. I mean, so good. And that calls for my flour mixture and just makes it taste like a really wonderful deep dish pizza. But the spinach crust pizza provides a really neat alternative. It's a very different taste, and even my husband, who is extremely picky, really enjoys it as something different. But you would actually, it's very simple, you know, you would just take like a bag of frozen spinach, which is the easiest thing in the world. You could obviously buy fresh, but you'd want about 16 ounces, 2 cups of the spinach leaves, and then you'd beat a couple eggs and mix them all up together. And then you need, I go light on the breadcrumbs because I prefer the spinach taste and the fewer carbs. But you would use gluten-free breadcrumbs. I make my own gluten-free bread, which the recipe is also in the book. But you could use any gluten-free bread that's out there because you're just basically going to, you know, chop it all up into tiny little crumbs and it wouldn't matter so much. Most of the breads that are on the market that are pre-made that you can purchase are very heavy on the rice flour. I do not like them to eat them as bread myself. However, in a recipe like this, it's not a big deal. And they're fairly widely available anymore. You can go to a Whole Foods or a market, a health food market, you could usually find some pre-made gluten-free bread. Chop all that up really small, about a cup. And then I love cheese. So you can just use, you know, cheese to taste, whichever kind of cheese you're interested in using in the pizza, and some cornmeal, basically for dusting. And I like to use a pizza stone, so you want to mix all of those ingredients, the spinach, the 2 eggs, the 1 cup plus or minus of the breadcrumbs, and about a half a cup of cheese. Mix it all up, and then you want to dust the pizza stone with cornmeal lightly, and then you're going to just sort of spread the mixture out on top of the pizza stone with a, you know, the back of a spoon or something, just to spread it out in the shape of a pizza. And then you will, before that, I guess I should say, depends on if your spinach is frozen, you probably want to squeeze it. You don't want it to be real watery.
Right.
If it's fresh, then, you know, you don't worry about that. But squeeze it out, so make sure it's not watery. And then you're going to spread it out just like you would a pizza crust and bake it on a 375 oven. You know, some people's ovens bake a little hot or cold, and so you want to adjust for that. But about 10 minutes, and you'll see it starts to get a little brown on the top. And then you just take it out, put your favorite pizza sauce on it, more cheese, you know, sautéed vegetables, pepperoni, whatever you're interested in, and then put it back in until the cheese is bubbly. And it is so yummy. It's just a really nice, lighter, healthier, you know, version of pizza, but it's very different and it's really, really good. So it's fun to try.
Yes, it is. Now, you have absolutely saliva-producing recipes just when you read about them. Pecan-encrusted baked fish.
That's one of my favorites.
Honey garlic wings. Are you folks getting hungry at all? How about a Hawaiian crock pot chicken and rice? A griddle corn cake. A chicken Reuben? These are all things that maybe you would not feel you could have because normally you would be using regular flour. Well, what Jules has done is that through trial and error and through her very critical critics called family, they have let her know what is acceptable and what isn't, and we all know how family can be. They're not going to hold any punches when you still dish out something that is not good.
No.
So this is really great. Now, this one we must talk about. We've got enough time for it. Death
buy flourless chocolate cake. Now, trust me, folks, you're not going to drop dead when you eat it. But what's going to happen is your taste buds are just absolutely going to be tickled no end. And you can serve it to guests at a party. And who doesn't like chocolate? I know there's a few hands that will raise out there, but not mine. Chocolate, I think, is like the staff of life. Let's talk about your Death by Flourless Chocolate Cake. Why is this so decadent? Tell us how to fix it.
Well, this is a great recipe because it actually, I usually use it with coffee, which enhances the chocolate flavor of the recipe. But I have to tell you, unless you have a double boiler, unless you're real creative and you can figure out a way to make a double boiler out of the pans that you have, I wouldn't recommend trying that. What I would actually recommend, and this is maybe you've tried this and I'm not sure, but the other chocolate cake in here that's so easy to make, and I just absolutely love it. And let me see if I can figure out what page it's on in my cookbook, because my pages are all bent up. I wish you could see this. It's too funny. they're all crunchy from spilling stuff on them. I know. It's called Hot Fudge Pie, Donna, and it's just a couple pages before that. But
yeah, I've got it right in front of me.
Yeah, it's so good, and it's the easiest thing ever. And I've made it so many times. People are just like, they think it's my signature dish or something, I think. But you basically, all you do is you mix up a half a cup of cocoa and 3/4 cup of boiling water. And I usually just mix that up in like a Pyrex glass, you know, mixing bowl, just set it to the side. Then you want to cream about 1 stick of margarine with 1 cup of sugar. Real easy to remember, right?
Now, can you use butter instead of margarine?
You can use butter instead of margarine, absolutely.
Okay.
My mom always prefers margarine. I think, you know, I tend to cook with butter. I use sweet cream butter unsalted, and then I add salt if I need to.
Yes.
But the recipe says margarine. I usually am using butter. But you'll cream those together, and then you're going to add 1/3 cup, and I call for my gluten-free flour mixture. But if you are not eating gluten-free, just add 1/3 cup of all-purpose wheat flour. If you are eating gluten-free, I would strongly recommend using the mixture in this cookbook because I know it works. But you could use another commercial brand of flour replacer, but you're going to need to add some xanthan gum. Then you mix all that up, plus you have 2 separated eggs, and you want to mix the egg yolks in with it and 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. On the side, you're going to beat the 2 egg whites until they're stiff. And you're going to add the cooled chocolate and the stiff egg whites in with your other mixture with the cocoa and the egg yolks and the flour. Mix it all up and then pour it into a greased and floured like pie pan, like a 9-inch pie pan. Bake it for an hour. It is divine. I mean, I cannot even describe to you how wonderful it is. I've never served it for people and had there be any left. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's 4 people or 8 people. It doesn't matter. They always want seconds, and they finish it all up. It's especially good with ice cream on top. So good.
Well,
I'm getting hungry.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. You know, so I was just talking with someone today that has a child that's going through all kinds of changes, and diet is so important. If there is any suspicion of a gluten intolerance, in reading Jewel Shepherd's book, if you know of anyone that could utilize the insight and information into this, this is a must read. But not only that, you get these marvelous recipes, and whether you are gluten intolerant or not, it is something that if you had guests that might be, and I know as a hostess, I'm often asking the people that come to dine at my home, gee, are you allergic to anything? And sometimes they'll say, I can't have wheat. We have a friend that said, I just can't have it. If I have it, I bloat up, I get uncomfortable, I have this, that, and the other go wrong. So we know that we have to have an alternative. And in having this book, I now have alternatives for guests that want to have a wheat-free something. And nobody knows that it's wheat-free. That's
right.
The joy and the beauty of it all. So it's nearly normal cooking for gluten-free eating. Give us your website, hon.
It's very simple. It's the same title of the book. It's www.nearlynormalcooking.com. And if you want to check it out, too, there's other sample recipes on the site. So you can check out some other free recipes.
Absolutely. Free recipes, wonderful information. nearlynormalcooking.com. Jewel Shepherd, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Again, nearly normal cooking for gluten-free eating. And if you're not salivating now, I don't know what would make you salivate. When you come back, when we come back, we have more good things to share with you. Now, don't go away. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, all you need to do if you're in the United States is give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're a Canadian, 888-810-8322 is the telephone number to call into. That's 888-810-8322. We also have a direct line for international callers, which is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the bbsradio.com site, welcome. We're so delighted you've joined our listening family. And what I am inviting you to do is to call in and give me your first name or initial, and I'll be happy to share with you my intuitive insights for you. And then you're welcome to ask a question about whatever you like. So again, 877 for the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-810-8322, and our direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to share with you the guests that we're going to be having on this week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Natalia Apolito. We're going to be talking about her book, I Might As Well Be Naked. Yes, it's fun. She has been a security person at airports, and she has some stories to tell, which some of them are just absolutely amazing. So if you're traveling, as I have been, you're on the road going through airports, security clearance checks, and you're going to go through more than one, I think you will find this quite fascinating. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Stephanie Alexander. This woman has a website called womansavers.com. We're going to be talking about some very interesting subjects. She is one of the top websites on the Internet around the world, and she has a lot to share. And then on Thursday, Ronald Russell is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about the journey of Robert Monroe. Now, his name may not mean anything to you, but Robert Monroe was a scientist, a researcher, who had out-of-body experiences. When he started having these experiences, he became curious, he was questioning, and it changed his life. He began a journey of not just introspection, but actual scientific investigation about how this was something that could be developed. And today there is an institute here in the state of Virginia that actually helps people learn how to do this and other things as well. It's quite a fascinating story, and I know you'll find it intriguing. So that's our lineup for this coming week. And I'm then going to be flying back home, and I'll be back in my office. But on Friday, the 29th, we're going to be broadcasting another Best of Donna. So that is the lineup that is evolving. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-810-8322, or our direct line of 876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, before we know it, we're going to be enjoying a wonderful holiday, which is the 4th of July. But I wanted to share a poem with you by Peggy Morris. I really liked it. Her red, white, and blue waves high across the land, reminding us always for freedom we stand. And that little statement is accompanying a beautiful photograph of the American flag. And here I am traveling on the East Coast, and there is so much that has crossed my path in my journey back here, reminding me how precious freedom is, the right of being able to say what you want to say, whether you agree or disagree with someone else. That's not the point. The right of expression, that is something that we need to remember. We work very hard to get, and we have to work even harder to maintain it. Being back here in the South, it has shown me also something that I had forgotten about. I don't know about you, but fireflies are something that you see quite frequently back here on the East Coast. And in Virginia, there's just so many parts of the country here that you will, when you're in certain areas, you'll see them out. When there's not a lot of lights around, you can see them so clearly, and they're just magical. In fact, some people think they're Mother Nature's original fireworks. Yep, the fireflies. Now, you can turn on a flashlight if you're out of doors, and just turn on for a few seconds and then turn it off. And the male fireflies will be very much attracted to it. I've got a picture in front of me of two children that are watching fireflies inside of a glass jar. My husband told me that when he was a boy growing up, he used to catch them and put them in jars and watch them just glow. Well, you know, you will find that if the more females that there are in the area, the more that you're going to have lights playing around. Now, apparently, Boone, North Carolina plays host to a firefly festival every year during the month of August. And they say that the firefly mating dance is like a love poem in Morse code, and it suggests that the female fireflies literally light up to males that have a faster flash rate. Also, firefly larvae light up to ward off predators. They say, don't eat me, I have a yucky bioluminescent organ. They say, you know, this is not going to taste too good. Studies show that the lights taste so bad, even the hungriest predators know how to stay away. And do you know what? Those little fireflies are extremely efficient. 100% of their built-in bulb gives off light, while our own lighting that we're so proud of, our artificial lights, waste 90% of their energy on heat production. Makes me think that maybe some scientists need to study some fireflies and perhaps learn from them. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. The telephone number is 877-876-5227. If you are in Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And if you're in the U.S., the telephone number is 530-876-3222. Well, I thought I would share with you a little bit of information, and you may want to take a pad of paper and pen and work this out, because I'll be chatting about this for a few minutes. If you have had anything to do with numerology, you know that there's often the world of numbers that can affect you. And I've known people that have changed their names because they wanted to have a different perspective in their life. Well, there seems to be a secret power in your name. And numerology, as I said, is something that a lot of people are fascinated with, and there's many different types of numerology. Well, they've found that there are personality traits. Now, this is what you can do. Write out your name, first, middle, and last, and you want to then use numbers to correspond with those letters in your name. So I'm going to give you that so you can write it out and you can figure out what belongs to you. And each letter of the alphabet is assigned a number up to the number 9, using your first, middle, and last name again. And if your name has changed since you were born, use the one you're going by now. When you change your name, you change your numbers. Maria Shaw, she is very knowledgeable about this, and that's what she says. So let me tell you what letters are associated with the numbers, and then you can write them down and then work your name out. And we're going to be going on break in a little bit of time, so this will give you an opportunity to work it out. Now, the letters A, J, and S like Sam, are associated with the number 1. With the number 2, the letters B, K, and T. 3, the letters C, L, and U, C-L-U. 4, D, M, V. D, M like Mary, V like Victor. 5, E like Edward, N like Nellie, W. The number 5, E, N, W. 6 is F, O, X. F, O, X. 7 is G, P, Y. G like George, P like Paul, Y like yellow. The number 8, H, Q, Z. H, Q, Z. The number 9 is I and R. I and R. Now what you do, you find the number that's associated with the letter of your name, and you just write them down. Write your name out, and then put the number underneath the letter. And then you add them up. You add up all the numbers until you get a single digit, 1 through 9. Add up all the numbers. And what that will do, that will give you your personality code. Yes. And if you're dating somebody, this is something that might be fun to do. So what I will be doing is giving you in a moment, just give you a little bit of time there to write out your name, write out the numbers that are associated with the letters in your name. Give you a moment for that. Numerology is a fascinating, fascinating science. And there are, again, so many different ways that you can do it, but it is mathematically accurate in so many ways. I've had certain things done for me, but I also have to say that numerology is like anything else. It is what you do with it. And if you use it as a tool to leverage yourself in life, then you're going to come out ahead. So here we go. If you've written all the numbers out and you've added them all up, then these are the meanings of your sum. Now, if you added up all the letters in your name and you got a 10, then you remove the 0 and you bring it down to a 1. But regardless, if you came up with a number 1, you're a leader. You're big, you're bold, you're strong-willed, you're competitive, and you're usually overachieving. You really want whatever you do to be the best, period. You don't want less than the best. Now, most of the time, most people who are the number 1 in numerology are also usually a firstborn in a family. Now, think about that. It's a fascinating coincidence, if you will. Let's go with the number 2. If you come up with a number 2, you're a compassionate person. And we're going to be taking a caller, and when we come back, I'll fill in the rest of the stuff, and I will start with the number 2. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Ruth, and I'm calling from Fresno.
From Fresno, California. I bet you are cooking down there.
Yes.
Whoa, Fresno is one of the hot... No, Death Valley's hotter, but it's hot. I can remember going through Fresno. It is a place where you cook. Okay, now, first, Ruth, I know we're going to be going on break in about 2 minutes, so if we go on break, don't hang up, okay? Because we'll get right back to you. Now, Ruth, the first thing that I am looking at with you, I am seeing a woman's face, and I am looking at some tears in her face, a lot of emotion here. I believe you know someone who is going through a lot of emotional turmoil, and I'm not quite sure what relationship this is relating to. There is something that has to do with a past experience that she's had, and it seems to be overlapping in her space, and she's not thinking clearly. You know, I think, Ruth, you are a natural-born counselor. You have this wonderful warmth about yourself that makes it easy for people to talk to you. Sometimes you wish you didn't, because it seems like when they dump everything. But the truth is, you are a very sincere, caring person. This individual really needs to have some help, though. I don't see how you're going to be able to do much more than be a good listener, but be supportive of them and encourage them to seek out the help that they need. It'll make all the difference in the world. Now, you sort of wanted to become an isolationist for a while. The reason being is that there are certain components of your life that you're trying to bring into order, you are trying to get a clarity on. Be patient with yourself, dear. You're going through a lot of shifts and changes. This year so far has been actually a very good year for you, but you really have been asking a lot of questions, and I want to encourage you to do that. Now, Ruth, we're going to go into a break. Will you stay with me?
Yes.
All right. We're going to be coming back with Ruth, and if you'd like to call in 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-810-8322, we're going to come back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
International calls 530-876-3222. Well, let's get started again with the numerology. Now, we talked about the number one. Now, remember, you had to add up all of these numbers with your name to reveal your personality patterning. Now, if after adding everything up, you came up with the number two, that's talking about your compassion. You are a very loving and extremely empathetic person. Your family, your friends, hey, they're number one. And your life centers all around them. You work really well in a team of people, and you like people, period. You really like to be around them. You enjoy being a peacemaker, and you like harmony above everything else. Now, if the letters in your name added up to a three, we'll get to that right after this caller. Caller, welcome to the show. first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jay, and I'm calling from Northern California.
Where in Northern California, dear?
In Marin County.
Marin County. All right. Beautiful area. Okay, Jay, I am looking at some financial matters that I think you're going to have to give a priority to. There is something that for you, you need to really work out the details of how you're going to bring the money into the positioning of easy cash flow as you would like for it to be. It's going to take some thinking. This isn't necessarily going to be happening overnight. This is going to take some planning and some real determination, consistency, and follow through. I like what I'm seeing because I think what's happening is that not only are you working with assessing money and how you want to work with it, you're also looking at a lifestyle. You are looking at some changes that you want to have in your life. The one thing I want you to be aware of is make your choices not based on what other people think, but on what you really want. Because otherwise you might feel like you're constantly behind the eight ball, so to speak, in your own mind. You're going to feel like you're somewhat trapped into perhaps a particular plan. And you're not. You're not going to be trapped at all. But you may be subconsciously trying to please someone else. So make sure you focus on what really is best for you. Also, this arthritic feeling sometimes that you're getting in your knuckles, and I'm getting them in my left hand, middle finger, big knuckle area. There's this odd discomfort. I'd like to encourage you to get a small rubber ball and squeeze it. Exercise the body. Also, be aware that you want to pay attention to your nutrition. You want to be sure that you are taking your vitamins, your minerals, your supplementations. You want to be sure you take care of that because it will make a difference with you. What question would you like to ask me?
Well, you've really hit on everything so well. I'm kind of overwhelmed. My question was, what I'm doing and planning right now, will that be beneficial? And it was, you were right on the target.
Well, thank you very much.
You were ahead of me, so I just want to go back to that again about what I'm doing and planning and researching as far as all of this is.
Well, tell me what your plan is, dear. What is it you have in mind?
Well, I have some things that I have to research tonight that I have to sell. It came my way unfortunately by a death.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just putting all these things together and finding out what they're worth and how I can, not take advantage, but to be able to dispose of it and make...
Sure, and get the fair market value for whatever you're wanting to,
exactly,
to sell. And I think that that's very intelligent. I really want you to ask around. I really want you to sort of be incognito, if you will. And when you go in maybe to, if it were an antique, check with different antique appraisers. Or don't tell them you're wanting to sell it. Just say, this is what I'd like to do. And maybe that's what you need to do is have an appraisal done on your items so
yeah.
that you can see what the value would be considered by those persons that are the professionals for that. And you might want to get a couple of opinions because sometimes there are those people that will put outrageously high prices on things. It all depends on the market that you're in. And you're in a very good market, by the way, if you're wanting to liquidate certain items that have a bigger price tag on them. The smaller items, that's not the big deal. The bigger value is what you're concerned with. And then you also want to be sure that you have people that are reputable, that when it comes time to sell, if you wanted to sell it at an auction, that you would have a minimum price and it could go up from there.
Exactly.
So I think you're wise. Don't be in a hurry with this because I believe you can do very, very well. Also, you know, you're in California, so there's certain markets in California that might be more lucrative for you. And if you can find someone that might be able to help you with it on the Internet, that could be another venue for you as well. But I would say make sure you check with credible people, honest people, people that know the business. But don't let them know that you're ready to sell it.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that.
Get the information first and then maybe go back and say, this is something I'm wanting to do, this is the appraisal. When something is appraised, for insurance purposes, usually it's appraised higher rather than lower. But if, let's say, you had a piece of silver that belonged to George Washington, you really can't put a price on something like that. You can get a generalized idea, but if you had a statement about that, so on and so forth, then you could put it off. Great stuff.
Well, mostly it's not. It wouldn't be in that category. It's a lesser category, but there is a lot. There's a lot of it, and it has to be sorted. And
right, and that's going to take some time. Hon, I hate to rush you, but you know we're out of time.
Well, I really appreciate what you've just told me, and I'm so glad that I spoke to you.
Well, thank you, and be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I sure will.
All right, dear, you have a wonderful day, and this is Donna Siebel broadcasting from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Oh, I love technology, and the staff there at bbsradio.com, they just do a wonderful, wonderful job. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening from, be well, be happy, and know that this is a wonderful gift, a wonderful day of your life. Enjoy it to the fullest. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.